25. Rosh Chodesh Adar, Lamed Shvat, Sunday the 26th of February. Diane David Kahn, whiskey in sherry casks. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by Family Morvietsky. Morvietsky, they know who they are. Le'ilu Nishmas, Ras Chava Bas, Reb Mordechai Meir, Oliver Sholem. Oliver Sholem, that's a woman, yes. Okay.
Morning. So I suppose a topic, this is an Adar topic, although the mitzvah on the Suda of Purim is with wine and not with whiskey, but the question is about the wine and the whiskey. And this is the question. I think, though, to do this justice, I think we need to do this in two parts. We have to do it in two parts. I'm not going to push the whole thing in one go. I think it's too much. Let me take it stage by stage. And we'll take it. The question of the sherry casks, whiskey in sherry casks, is the following. This is the following. The following question is that what they were doing, the Matthias, first of all, what goes on. The whiskey made in Scotland, it's made out of barley, it's got water in it, and basically, that's your lot. They're not allowed to put anything in it at all. Nothing else is allowed to be put in it at all. And they used to use sherry casks once upon a time for the very simple historical reason that sherry casks were cheap. Why were they cheap? Because sherry came over from Spain. Once the casks were empty because the sherry had been delivered, there was nothing else to do with the sherry casks, and therefore the merchants from Spain sold it to the whiskey makers in Scotland, because they needed barrels, and it wasn't cost-effective for them to take the barrels, for the Spanish to take the barrels back to Spain. Instead, they sold it to the people in Scotland, who bought them cheaply. And very simply, what they discovered was, they discovered that the taste of the whiskey was something which was superlative, something which was improved by the use of these casks. Nowadays, going back to 1980 already, they forbade sherry casks in wooden casks, and they bring them over in metal casks. And therefore, there are no sherry casks to be had coming over from Spain, or very few, I don't know exactly, but basically, there's a great shortage. They started bringing over casks using bourbon casks. These casks, by the way, they cost far more to produce than they do to buy second-hand when they've landed up here. And these bourbon casks, bourbon is American whiskey, and it is the very basis of these casks. It's simple. It is a coarse whiskey that they drink in America. Again, the bourbon casks come over here, and or they bought over there and shipped over to here. It's worth their while doing it, and therefore they land up with them. Why were the whiskey makers, why are they interested in sherry casks? What is so special about it? It's the following. The wood itself has elements that are undesirable, that cause an unpleasant taste into the whiskey, a bitter taste, and therefore, but the sherry, what they discovered was that casks that have already had sherry in, it seems that the sherry does not affect the casks do not affect the sherry, but once it's had sherry in, the sherry seals the casks, and it has taken out already the negative elements of the woody elements that give a bad taste to the whiskey. And that was the reason why they wanted the sherry casks. Because if they don't use sherry casks, they have to use some other form of sealing the casks. They char them, or some other method to be able to get. That was always the reason why nobody ever worried about the whiskey produced in sherry casks, because simply no one was interested in the sherry, not for the taste, not for anything at all. The sole purpose that they were interested in was it was there to seal the cask. Later, recently, there's been more concern that they sell ones in sherry casks, ones not in sherry casks, and they make a big fuss about it. This one is sherry, this one isn't sherry. And the question has come up because the producers themselves, the connoisseurs themselves have said that there is a special taste that is gleaned from the fact that these casks are sherry casks. Sorry? We're going to go through it all. We're going to go through it all, slowly, bit by bit. First, the first question, chronologically, question was asked to Rav Moshe. Question was asked to Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe, Yodea Chelek Aleph, so it's in Chelek Beis, the Igros Moshe, and it is Simon, Samach Beis and Samach Gimel. The question was asked in Tovshin Ches in 1948, and the question that was asked is whether one can drink blended whiskey. In fact, the question was really that someone had been giving a heksher to whiskey, and they asked Rav Moshe whether this is a waste of time, is there any necessity to do so? And Rav Moshe gives him a big yishakoyach, and Rav Moshe says, Kibalti michtov hayoko, b'dva hayash, blended. She, he says, Shetachas hashkochosoi oisim blended whiskey, sheloi b'tarovus yain v'glycerin. He says, Vani oimeloi, ye yashe koichoi, gives him a big yishkoyach, b'ze, she ye roi lamahadrin, she yizoyem midvorim shetzorich hoiroas chochom. He says, Vani, he says, af she ani matir. Ramosha says, he is matir, the blended whiskey. Nizhor ani ba'atzmi, I am careful personally myself, milishtoist blended, from drinking blended whiskey. Rak. Bechabura, I only drink it when I'm in company. Shaloi lemichziki yehura, it shouldn't look as if I'm showing off. He says, Hoyisi shoisem mashu, I would drink the smallest amount, he says, levorich hamasubim kanog, to wish them a lechayim. He says, velochein vadai tov shiyayash blended beloi shum chashash. That's how he starts off. Now, before you go any further, you need to know that blended whiskey in America does not mean the same as blended whiskey in England, or Scotland, or the UK, or wherever you like. But blended whiskey in America means it is blended with wine. It's got wine in. That's what blended whiskey. Blended whiskey in this country means it's a blend of different whiskies, but you're not allowed to put wine in the whiskey. And therefore, Rav Moshe talks about whiskey, which is blended, which has got up to 2.5% wine actually poured into the whiskey vat. They've put it in there for taste. And he says, Avoladina, he continues, and the reason you'll see later on why we need this tshuva from Rav Moshe, Ladina, he says, Hayash blended, asher yesh chashash shema ma'arvim bo chelek echod me'arboim. That's the maximum they can put. 1/40, that's 2.5% they could put into it. Mutter b'shesio, you're allowed to drink it. Why? Tohon nifsek b'simen kuf lamadalet sif hei, because the Shulchan Aruch in simen kuf lamadalet sif hei is paskened, de yayin bottle b'shisho chalokim. This is something I want to be able to go into, and that's why I don't want to rush this. It's a pity, it'll spoil it. So over here it's like this. But whiskey, he says there's a din that wine in water. Wine is bottled in water 1 in 6. The normal rule is 1 in 60. And for wine, it says explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, it's 1 in 6. Allow me to go into the... Slowly. One thing at a time. Let's take it stage by stage, and then we've got a chance of really understanding what's going on. So he says like this. The Gemara says, where does this come from? It comes from the run in Avodah Zorah. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Omer of Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Beis Kosos, if you have two cups, Echot shel Chulin ve'echot shel Truma, one of Chulin, one of Truma, Umoizgon, he says, and what you do is you add water to the wine that you've got. So you've got some wine of Chulin, and you've got wine of Truma. And your Moizik, how much do you Moizik? How much do we dilute? How much was wine always diluted? In the Gemara, always the normal standard, once upon a time, you couldn't drink it unless you added
2/3, 3 parts
water to 1 part wine. So it was always you added 3 parts, so you had 3 parts to 1. The irvon zebozer, and what you do is you mix the one with another. Roines haheta kilu enoi. You have a look at the heta as if it doesn't exist. So you have now a situation, you've got, in each cup, you've got One part water, one part wine, three parts water. You mix them together, you've now got, shall we say, eight parts altogether. Two of which are wine, and six of which are water. Of the two parts of wine, one is chulin and one is truma. And the Gemara says you mix them together, and you pretend that the wine of chulin is not there. And what you do is, you're mavatel the water, six parts water, or mavatel the one part truma. What do you mean? How do they do that? Why one to six? That's what the Gemara says. Again, you take two cups, and they can hold four units altogether. They've got one unit of wine in each, one truma, one chulin. You top them up to four parts, and then you've got, that is the maziga of wine. And now they get mixed up together, so you've got eight parts of liquid, of which six are water and two are wine. So the Gemara says you put the one part of chulin, you pretend is not there, and then you've only got one part of wine to six parts of water, and the water is mevatel the truma, and therefore you can drink the lot. Incredible. That's what the Gemara says. The question is, why not? We know it's always 1 in 60.
Why do you ignore the chulin? Sorry. Why do you ignore the wine?
Because that's always the rule, that when it says heta, you don't say the heta is mitzarif to the issa to asur it. But that's for a much long discussion in how min b'minoi works in bittul. Yes, maybe that's not for now. But that's the way it is. The Gemara says that's the way that's what the Gemara thinks the chiddush is. Just this question that you're asking, that's the news that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis is telling us. But the Ram asks and says, although Rishonim say, but it should be 1 in 60. So the Samafoshim say you've got different sizes of cups. And that is incredible doichik, but somehow you have to get out of it. And if you have a cup which has 57 parts water, so you do the maths, and you end up with a tremendously large chulin cup and a very small truma cup, and somehow you get there, you put and take, and that's the way you get there. But the Ran says no. The Ran says there's a special din with water, relationship between water and wine. He says, because what happens is that when water mixes with wine to the extent that it's a 1 to 6 and more, then at that point, the water spoils the wine. That's the nusach of the Ran. It spoils the wine and it causes the wine to lose its potency, to lose its chashivus as wine, and the din of wine disappears. So even though you've still got tam yayin technically, because haven't got 1 in 60, but you spoil the wine. So normally when you've got issa, you can taste the issa. As long as you can taste the issa, it's a problem. So this is the chiddush of water and wine, and this is paskim explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, that water in wine is a din that, when it comes to that level, at that level, what happens is the wine is spoilt. So you can still taste the wine, but it hasn't got a din of wine anymore. So even though the wine came with all its isurim, it was truma, it was what yai nesach, it was whatever it was, once it's got six parts of water to the wine, then you're in a situation where where it's no good, and it's bottle, and the issa is gone. The issa has gone. The din of ein mevatlin issa l'chatchila, that is something. Seems the camera's gone a bit drunk already before we got to that. So it seems that the whole din of mevatlin issa l'chatchila, that's something that that's something, of course, whether you're allowed to do it in the first place in order to create it, that is part of the din of mevatlin issa l'chatchila that applies normally. So therefore, Rav Moshe basically says, because there's a din of 1 in 6, therefore Rav Moshe says, I think that the whole thing is mutter, there's no problem at all. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, in his tshuva over here in some place, he says that the bottom line is that he thinks it's mutter, there's no issa whatsoever, and he says, I think it's perfectly okay to drink it. But Rav Moshe says, zehu ledina, that is what restricts, what mikar din is, avol baal nefesh, he says, yesh lo lehach me'al atzmoy mitzad kamo chashoshes, and he brings four chashoshes down, and therefore he says, strictly speaking, it's mutter. But, he says, that is a bal nefesh yesh lo lehach me'al atzmoy. One thing very important to mention, one of the chashoshes of Rav Moshe is that there's a machlokus between the taz and the shach, whether the din of 1 in 6, the special kul of 1 in 6, which applies to Yain Nesach, it applies to Yain Shal Truma, whether that applies when it's wine and other liquids, or is it only wine and water? The Taz says that if it works for water, so Kol Shekein it should work for other liquids, because other liquids are more, water doesn't have any taste to it. So therefore, but other liquids, so surely they're going to negate the taste of the wine far more. So if the din is true when it comes to water or wine, alachas kama v'kama kol shekein that it should work when it comes to other liquids of wine. The Shach says no, because then you can have a blend, because the water mixing with the wine makes it taste like dishwater. It tastes awful, horrid, it spoils it. Whereas if you have two perfectly good tasting beverages and you mix them together, you get something which is, says the Shach, you would need 1 to 60. Machlokas, Shach and Taz, and the Chochmas Odom, and many other poskim, all the way down to, including Rav Moshe and Dain Weiss, they're both, Zichrono and Vocha, they both say that we paskin like the Taz. And that's it. And that's why Rav Moshe says, there is a Shach, and therefore Baal Nefesh Yachmir, but he paskins fairly and squarely down on the side of the Taz, and that seems to be the main psak over here. So that was Rav Moshe's psak on. Now, interestingly enough, when we deal...
In the olden days, they used to dilute one part wine with three parts water, yeah?
That's right.
But that was the olden days. The wine today is vastly different.
Right. So if anything else is weaker, it should be more so.
Yes.
Yes, but the poskim point is out, no. So you should need less water. But we haven't got the kerf to change what the Gemara says, what the Rishonim say. But the weaker the wine, the less we dilute it, the more effect the dilution of water is going to have on it. Yes, that way round. Yes? Okay. Now we come to whiskey and wine that they're actually adding up to a 40th, 2.5%. That's all they're adding. So therefore, now it's the machloek. Because according to the Taz, of course, 1 in 6 is good. Here you've got 1 in 40. And therefore, or maybe more than 1 in 40, but certainly 1 in 40, up to 2.5% they're allowed to. And therefore, Moshe says there's no problem at all. But according to the Shach, you would need 1 in 60. You would need 1 in 60, and therefore it doesn't work. And therefore, that was the machlokes between the two.
Are you allowed to do it?
That we discussed already. We're not getting involved in we doing it. We are presented with the finished product. So we're not doing it. You couldn't, whether you yourself could have a whiskey production, which you did that to, you took Goyish wine to add to it, but Stolman, no, you can't do that. No, of course you couldn't. But this is something that you're buying, and you're not in control of what you have. Now, seemingly, the question of the sherry casks seems to be far less than this. They're not adding any wine to the mixture. It is just the whatever is absorbed in the walls of the barrel. What is absorbed in the walls of the barrel? In which case, we should say it should be easy. There shouldn't be any problem at all. However, amazingly, if you make the inquiries if those who know how whiskey is made and what the barrels look like, if you make a calculation of a barrel of whiskey which has, say, 500 litres in it, the calculation is, we've seen somebody's pointed this out, the thickness, the barrels are very thick indeed. They're so thick that if you have a barrel which holds 500 litres of whiskey, which is a medium-sized barrel, so then that barrel itself is at least 2.5 centimetres thick, then the total volume of the wood in the barrel compared with the whiskey that you've got, believe it or not, you haven't even got 6 times as much whiskey as you have volume of wooden cask that it's in.
That's not the point. The point is how much wine does it absorb.
You always have a din that we have to consider whenever you've got questions of absorption of blias inside kalim. You always, we don't know how much has been absorbed, and these wooden casks are very absorbent, but of course there is clearly, there's clearly a presence of wood there, but since we don't know, the din is clearly we have to consider as if the entire kli were full of issa. completely full of Issa. But that, again, this is not a question that you're going to ask on me. This is a din in kashrus that applies right across the board. We have to work out whenever somebody makes chicken soup in a milchik pot, and the milchik pot has been used for 24 hours for hot milk, you're going to have to work out what the thickness of the kli, of the utensil is. That's the din, and another time we can go into it and go into the whole thing. But that's the din, and therefore you turn out, amazingly, that the whiskey sherry cask question is worse than Rav Moshe's question. Rav Moshe is talking about using a bourbon cask, which has got no whiskey, no cherry in at all, and all you're doing is you're adding a little bit of wine, in order to give it a bit extra flavour, and that Rav Moshe says it may give it flavour, but nonetheless Rav Moshe says you don't have the flavour of the wine. It's spoilt. It's not wine flavour anymore. It's lost its din of wine. So instead, what you end up with is you end up with the barrel situation where they're not adding any sherry to it at all, but there's so much sherry absorbed within the sherry cask that you literally haven't got six times as much. The truth of the matter is, that was only true if you have whiskey at cask strength. But if you have whiskey, which is about nearly 60%, but if you have whiskey at the normal strength that it is, you can buy whiskey at cask strength, but if you buy whiskey at the 40 to 43% alcohol strength that you get it, in which case you've diluted it by half, you got it down from 60 to 40. Down from 60 to 40, you would need barrels of 36 millimetres in order to be able to get a, it shouldn't be bottle 1 in 6, and you do in the end end up with a bottle of 1 in 6, not in the barrel, but in the bottle. So it's bottle in the bottle. So then you have a situation where the time they supply it, it is actually 1 in, you end up with 1 in 6. But the truth of the matter is that, and therefore Dein Weiss writes in his Tshuva, comes to the conclusion as well, that he didn't make this calculation, and the truth of the matter is, it's quite clear in Dein Weiss's Tshuva, that it didn't even occur to him, which didn't occur to me either, somebody else pointed out, that the barrels are so thick, that the ratio between them is you haven't even got 1 in 6. But Dein Weiss is matir for another reason, because he says that they don't really put it in there to flavour the wine, the whiskey, but it gives a flavour to the whiskey. And this is a very, very important point that needs to be brought out. And that's the following. The metzias is, if you speak to the experts in whiskey, and those who really understand what's going on, there is no doubt about it that the whiskey itself, in the whiskey tastes different. Anybody who knows anything about whiskey, and don't look at me because I don't, but those people who understand, who have a palate for the different types of whiskies, they will all tell you that they can tell you blindfolded, if they drink whiskey, whether in what cask it was matured, and in what type of wine barrel cask it was matured, whether it's sherry or whether it's this or whether it's port or whether it's something else, they'll tell you they know exactly what it is because they can taste the difference. So how much of a market sales it is, one has to respond to the people who really can taste the difference. However, what's really important is no one says that it tastes of sherry. What they say is that they can taste the difference between a whiskey which is matured in a sherry cask and a whiskey which is not matured in a sherry cask. That they can taste the difference between the two. There's a lot more as well to discuss mitzad b'halocha shaboy. I want to though sit over here, and therefore this is the question over here. Do you on the one hand say, look, the thing tastes of, they're purposely using sherry casks. There's no question about it. In Scotland, they are making sherry casks. They're taking casks and they are soaking them in sherry because they want to have the effect that the sherry has upon the whiskey. All of that is true. And there's also something else. There's something called second and third maturation, where they take whiskies that have been matured in bourbon casks and then they put them for 10 years or so. They'll put them for a further 6 months or so in a sherry cask before they sell it. And the reason they do it is certainly for taste. They want to add the taste. That is all emes lamitoi. And therefore there are those who come along and say, look, the story has changed. Once upon a time they were only using sherry casks in order to be able to, because it was the cheapest casks around, and therefore it was convenient. They weren't interested in the sherry at all. It was just a question of producing whiskey, and it saved the money on the casks. Now that we're doing it purposely, and therefore any taste that there is completely incidental, but now that the situation is that they are now coming along and they're saying, no, we're doing a second maturation. We are paying a fortune for sherry casks in order to, and this is what's going on now, because they don't, sherry casks are not dumped here from Spain as they used to be, so they have to pay a fortune, something like a couple of hundred dollars, or I think more, $300, $400, $500 for a sherry cask to be brought over empty from Spain. And that's what they're paying, absolute fortunes they're paying for it. Why should they bother doing that when they can buy a bourbon cask second hand for very, very little indeed? I think $35, $40. Why are they doing it? Why are they paying the fortunes for it? Because it tastes better. Ah, it tastes better. Everyone gets worried. What's going on with the sherry? What is this? And therefore, those who came along say the story is different, and therefore it is awesome. I don't know how much time we've got left. I think we need to stop. But I want to stop and tell you like this. That in Mitzvah Shem, we'll have another opportunity to think. What I want to tell you is, the next Shia Mitzvah Shem, I want to bring you a Mefurusha Gemara, which says that it's Mutter. A Mefurusha Shulchan Aruch that it's Mutter.
Before Purim, please, before.
And then, I do want to, after that, tell you what findings, there have been findings to extreme. Very, very recently, findings about things that they're doing that no one ever knew about, and therefore there's more to know. But the end of the story with the sherry cask, we'll have to do another one because we're running out of time, and there's more Gemaras to see, and there's more Shulchan Aruch to have a look at stage by stage, and then we'll see how it is. The truth of the matter is, until I heard of the new thing that's just being done now, and in fact, Badatz are actually producing whiskey in Scotland as we speak, not literally, and they are giving a heksher to it because of findings that they found. But we have to see together, the Gemara seem to say explicitly that it should be absolutely mutter, and in Mitzvah Hashem, the next one, we'll show, we'll have them here to see what it is.
It is Rosh Chodesh. If anybody wants to help us with the expenses of Torah Wage, please be generous.